Good morning. Great to see everyone here today. I love when I get up and then the whole church is like filled up, you know. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am going to read a devotional this morning before I start. Preparing for heaven. John 14, 2-3 says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may also be. As children of God, we are on a journey. One day, however, it will end, and we will be called to our eternal home. Thankfully, we can be hopeful about going to heaven because Jesus has gone there to prepare a place for us. The warning for us as we await that day, however, is that we cannot grow apathetic in our faith or become discouraged because of hardships that we face in this life. Instead, we must make the most of the opportunities that God gives us, knowing that He will reward our faithfulness in a manner that will impact what we experience in the world to come. So remain steadfast in your faith, knowing that no matter what the future holds, God's grace will be sufficient for us. And be aware of how He may be calling you to serve Him. You may not know when you'll see Jesus, but you can and should live in joyful expectation of that day. Certainly, you will find it was all worthwhile when He greets you with, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let's celebrate together in the Father's house. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for providing such a bright and wonderful future for each and every one of us, Lord. We praise you and we love you, and we ask that you just open our hearts and our minds today, Lord, to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, my sermon title, My Father's House. Amen. My Father's House. Last week in Pastor Rick's sermon, we left off where Peter was asking the Lord, "Why can't I follow you now?" He said, "I will lay my life down for you." And then Jesus tells him, "Really? Lay your life down for me?" He didn't say really, but I like to emphasize. "Lay your life down for me?" Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And, you know, is it pride? Is it fear? You know, why do we fall short every day? You know, every day we fall short. And the reason for that is because just like Peter, we all suffer from a terminal disease. It's called sin nature. Amen. And we are all born with it. And that's why we have the cross. Amen. Amen. The cross of Jesus Christ. We never need to let our hearts be troubled, and we are never alone. Reed Lessing tells a story of a Native American ritual for training young Indians. And on the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he's placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. And until then, he's never really been away from the security of his family and his tribe. But on this night, they blindfold him, and he's taken miles away. And when he takes off the blindfold, he's in the middle of the thick woods. There he is there. By himself, all night long, terrifying. How out of his element the young brave must have felt. How very unbrave, in fact, he must have felt. So every time a twig snapped, he probably visualized a wild animal getting ready to attack him, right? Or every time an animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out of the darkness. And every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it was masking. No doubt, it was a terrifying night for many. But after what must have seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, and he saw trees and the outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. He had been there all night long. It's a lesson in bravery. It was a lesson in bravery. And independence. But it's an important lesson in dependence as well. Tribe and family matter, but we aren't alone. Even when you're most lonely, you're not alone. So don't live in fear. The Father is forever near. Amen. Forever near. I want to talk about fearless living this morning. I want to look at 1 John 4:4, where John stated, "Greater is he who was living in me than he who was living in the world." Amen. I love this verse. It's a motivational verse for fearless living. Amen. And the catchphrase for this type of living today seems to be faith over fear. You see all these t-shirts and, you know, you see it everywhere, right? I love it. So whether it's dealing with a health issue or maybe a tough job, unfaithful friends, addictions, unmet goals in your life, or even a China virus, this verse is used to encourage Christians. Amen. Encourage Christians that we can overcome any obstacle when we have the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. Any obstacle, right? Amen. So verse 1 of today's text says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." The disciples had a good reason to be troubled. Jesus had just told them that one of them's a traitor, right? And that they were all going to deny him and that he was leaving, right? So they had good reason to be troubled. All this trouble, and Jesus still tells them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled." So Jesus never wanted us to have life without trouble, okay? We got to understand that. But he did say that we could have an untroubled heart in this life with trouble. Amen? And James 1:2-4 says, Jesus' brother, by the way, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Some of the most faithful people and pastors that I know are the prodigals of this world. Amen? And now why is that? Why are they so faithful, right? Maybe because they persevered through so many trials in their lives, right? So many trials in our lives. Spurgeon said of trials in life, "Without the fight, there would be no victory." Right? Without the fight, there would be no victory. Without due trial, where would be our experience? And without the experience, where would be the holy increase of our faith? Amen. One of the surest ways to grow quickly in your faith is during times of trial, right? Don't we always pray when we're in trouble? We always pray when we're in trouble, right? When times are tough, we all hit our knees, right? We all hit our knees and we cry out to God. But shouldn't we also be praying thanksgiving for all the gifts that God gives us, right? And don't forget to pray in the good times as well, right? And pray daily and nurture our relationship with Christ. Amen. Denzel Washington once said, and I'm sure a lot of you probably heard this, he said, "I pray that you put your shoes way under the bed at night so that when you got to get on your knees in the morning to reach for them, while you're down there, thank God for His grace and His mercy and His understanding. We all fall short of His glory and we all got plenty." And it does work. Put them shoes way up under that bed, man, so you can get on your knees when you get out of bed. Amen? Yeah, or your keys. If you're Pastor Robin, you put your keys under there. You probably lose them under there, but... Oh, man. Romans 5:3-4 says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope." And it's that hope that keeps us going, right? But it's the perseverance that makes us successful. Amen? And it's great to have both, you know, hope and perseverance. Speaking of perseverance, there was a man whose life was characterized by failure. And we all know this man, okay? At the age of 22, his business failed. And at 23... he ran for legislator, but was defeated. So he turned to another business, which failed when he was 24. And at 25, things started to turn around for him when he was elected to the legislature. But at 26, the love of his life died. So he had a nervous breakdown at 27, and he was defeated in his run for Speaker of the House at 29. Bless you. And he was defeated at 31 when he ran for elector. And he lost his run for Congress at 34, but then managed to win at 37. Then he was defeated again in his re-election for Congress at 39. He was defeated in his run for Senate at 46, and he was defeated for his run for Vice President at 47. Then he was defeated for his run for Senate at 49, so he was really defeated a lot, amen? But he had perseverance. This man was stubborn as a mule, but not a winning mule. He kept losing, right? So he was defeated over and over and over again until the age of 51 when he was elected President of the United States. And in fact, he would become one of the greatest presidents in our country. There he is, President Lincoln. Amen? Abraham Lincoln. He endured through hardships, the trials, defeats, rejections, and failures until one day he became our Commander-in-Chief. Amen? And that is the power of perseverance. It is vital for success to have perseverance. Amen? President Lincoln grew up in a highly religious Baptist family, and he also frequently referred to God and had a deep knowledge of the Bible. And I'm sure he had a deep relationship with Christ as well. Amen? The second half of that verse says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Instead of giving into a troubled heart, Jesus told them to put their trust not only in God, but to put their trust in Jesus as well. Amen? And this was all new to them. It was a radical thing in that day to call others to trust in Jesus as God the Father. For him to say, "Trust in me as you trust in the Father," or "as you trust in God," that was a radical thing for him to say. Amen? McLaren writes, "What signalizes him and separates him," speaking of Jesus, "from all other religious teachers is not the clearness or the tenderness with which he reiterated the truths about the Father's love and or about morality and justice and truth and goodness, but the peculiarity of his call to the world is believe in me." That was the main, that's what separated him from everyone else. Believe in me, right? And go to the next slide. I tried to top Pastor Rick's picture, but I don't know. It's the best one I could find. Amen. Oh, yeah. So see right here, this is Pastor Rick right here. Amen. And this is Amazing Grace. So Christianity is not a belief in a supreme being, okay? Christianity is a belief that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Amen. That's the important part, right? John 5:23 says they are to honor Him even as they honor His Father. We are to honor Him even as we honor the Father. He's not simply a man, He's not simply a teacher, and He's not simply a prophet. He is claiming to be equal with God, right? Equal with God. And He's demanding that the believers trust in Him as they trust in God. The next verse says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" Home sweet home. Amen? Maxie Dunham wrote a number of years ago, Newsweek magazine carried the story of the memorial service held for Hubert Humphrey. He was a former vice president of the United States. Hundreds of people came from all over the world to say goodbye to their old friend. But one person who came was shunned and ignored by everyone there. Nobody would look at him, much less speak to him. And that person was former President Nixon, Richard Nixon. Not long before, he had gone through the shame and the infamy of Watergate, and he was back in Washington for the first time since his resignation from the presidency. But then a very special thing happened. So he's being ignored. He's all by himself. But perhaps the only thing that could have made a difference and broken the ice was when then President Jimmy Carter came into the room. He came into the room, and before he sat down, he saw Nixon standing by himself over in the corner, and he went over to him, as though he was greeting a family member, you know? And he stuck his hand out to the former president and he smiled broadly. And to the surprise of everyone there, the two of them embraced and Carter told him, "Welcome home, Mr. President. Welcome home." So he had forgiven him. Amen? Commenting on that, Newsweek magazine asserted, "If there was a turning point in Nixon's long ordeal in the wilderness, it was that moment, that gesture of love and compassion that Carter was showing Nixon," right? So, do the sins we have committed in the past trouble our hearts like they did for President Nixon? A lot of times they do, right? And are your hearts troubled because of fear of death? No? Shouldn't be, right? It should be a celebration of life. But we're all scared to die. Amen? And why are we troubled by so many things that we have to face in this world? Why are we troubled by that? But don't worry, brothers and sisters, this is not our home. Amen? We're just visitors. We're just passing through, right? For those of us in Christ Jesus, we're just passing through. And there's a song by Chris Tomlin called "Home." And it really explains it pretty well. But some of the lyrics go like this. It says, "Lay down my burdens, I lay down my past. I run to Jesus, no turning back. Thank God Almighty, I'll be free at last. In heaven, in heaven." Amen? There it is. Jesus did not worry about life beyond this earthly home. He knew it and told of the many rooms that He had for us in heaven, in the Father's house. Amen? So whatever rooms or mansions God has for us in heaven, we are sure it's going to be glorious. Amen? It's going to be like coming home times 100, right? Or maybe 1,000,000, right? When I was young and running the streets, I would stay at other people's houses. I would stay at other people's apartments, trailers, hotel rooms, motorhomes, wherever I could stay, right? But I never called them home. I might have been living there, but I never called them home. Amen? I was never comfortable or felt secure like I did at home. Amen? I may have slept there, I may have cooked there, I may have even paid rent, but it wasn't my home. Whenever I got tired, and I got scared, and I got hungry, I would go to my mom's. That was my home. That was my home. Unconditional love, great food, peace and security. Peace and security, amen? The Father's house is that kind of place and so much more. Amen? And for those of us in Christ, it will one day be our home, sweet home. Amen. Next verse says, "I am going there to prepare a place for you." You think this means that He's going to build a house for us or no? Heck no, right? The Creator of the universe does not have to build anything. It means He's going to get everything ready for us. Get it ready for our arrival. Amen? And I also believe that it means He's going to intercede for us as well. And His love will prepare a welcome. His love will prepare a welcome. Oh, happy day. Amen? Amen. Then it says, "I will come back and take you with me so that you also may be where I am." So Jesus is promising the disciples that He would come again for them and that He was not only talking about the resurrection of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection or the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is also speaking of His return at the end of the age. Amen? He's speaking of His return, which may be very soon. Amen? Many prophecies have been fulfilled, and many more are on the verge. Matter of fact, we just watched a movie about this on Wednesday called The Coming Convergence, which spoke of many prophecies converging together at the end of days. Amen? And it may be sooner than we think, according to the signs today. Now, true, it says, the Bible says, no one will know the time or the day, right? No one will know the hour or the day. But the Bible prophecies never fail. Amen? 100%, right? 100%. They never fail. End time prophecy has already started to happen. So, don't be like those who, when they hear the news of the Lord's coming, second coming, or witness the convergence of many prophecies, and they still don't believe, and they still don't investigate. Amen. We got to listen to the prophecies, and we have to recognize the signs. Amen. Remember, He's not coming back, and also remember that He's not coming back for those who don't believe in the true God, or Christ, or the Trinity. Amen. There's only one God, yeah, but we have to believe that Christ is the only way to the Father. Amen. And there are some people who believe in universalism. And that's where everyone's going to heaven, okay? Everyone's going to heaven. Everyone's going to be there. But if your higher power is someone other than Jesus or the Trinity, it's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. Unless you believe that your higher power is Jesus, the Son of God, and that He died for your sins and He's gone to prepare a place for you, you have not found the way. You have not found the way. Unless you believe the inerrant Word of God and follow His commands, we are all at risk. Amen? Everyone's not going to heaven. I hate to break the news to you, but everyone's not going to heaven. It's a picture that I found. I've seen it many times, and it's a pretty scary picture, actually. But this is heaven up here. And then this is the separation, and this is hell down here. Amen? So not everyone is going to heaven. Amen? What verse is that? Oh, Revelation 22:15 says, "Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love a lie." And this, friends, is why we preach against the Equality Act, and why we sent out the email this week to stand against these practices. Amen? Because if we give in to them, if we give them enough power, they will infiltrate our schools and our churches. Amen? It has nothing to do with equality. There's other agendas. And we must be careful, and we must stand for biblical values at all times. We must stand for biblical values. And the next verse, verse 4 says, "You know the way to the place that I am going." So Thomas, being completely honest, says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. We do not know where you're going. We are clueless, and we are, and you are speaking like we know these things." He says, "How can we know the way? We don't even know where we're going." Jesus tells him perfectly, as always. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So we learn and study so much about salvation and witnessing to others that sometimes we forget the simple truth that the way to God is a person. Amen? It's a person in Jesus Christ. And when someone asks, "How do I get to heaven?" the answer should always be what? Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maranatha.
And it could be today.
Got you. All right. Yeah, you better remember it. You got it too, right, Marcel? Okay, all right.
Say it again.
Maranatha.
And it could be today.
And it could be today. Amen. Lord, I hope so. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." No one, not one of the ways, not one of the truths, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? There's no other way, there has never been, and there never will be another way. Then to really make his point and be sure they understand the truth, he says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." No one, he is the only way. Amen? C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, he writes, "When a man comes along like Jesus and says the things that he does, there is really only three ways to think about it. Amen? So when Jesus says He's the only way to the Father, there are three possibilities. Either He's a liar, which means He is purposely deceiving all the people who heard Him. Sounds like Satan, right? For His own needs and for His own purpose. Saying things about Himself that are not true, that's a liar. Amen? So He's either a liar, or the second option is that Jesus was crazy. Okay? He was crazy. He wasn't purposely lying, but He was out of His mind and He was just saying crazy things, right? That's the second option, okay? And then the third option is, of course, to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Those are the three options. Either He was a liar, or He's crazy, or He's the Lord. Amen? So, the Son of God, one with the Father, and the only way to the Father, you choose. Amen? I choose the third option every day. Amen? Hallelujah. C.S. Lewis went on to argue against those who would say He was a good teacher or a good moral example. He was not just a good teacher or a good moral example. If you don't believe what He said, which is, I am the only way to God, there is no other way. I am the gate, and if you don't come by Me, you don't come. If you don't believe that, then you're in deep yogurt. Amen? Right, Pastor? Someone who says things like that is not just a good teacher or just a moral example if he is not speaking the truth. Amen? So there's no middle ground with Jesus. There's no middle ground. There's no lukewarm either. Amen? You're either hot for Jesus or you're cold. Amen? You either accept Him or you don't. You take your pick. Liar, crazy, or your Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. You have to pick one, okay? You have to pick one because we all have to choose. Because remember, if you don't make a choice, you're making a choice. Amen? So we all have to pick one. And so choose Jesus. I know I do. And if you choose Jesus, we will all enter the Father's house. Amen? God bless you and thank you. Amen.